How's it going, Robert?
Hey, long time no speak.
I know. You got your beauty sleep on the milk run?
Man, I'm telling you, that was the longest 45-minute flight I've ever had.
Yeah. Well, it looks like you and I are on. I'm going to go ahead and go on mute and as we wait for everyone else.
All right, same here.
Hi, this is Tom.
How's it going, Tom? This is Jason here.
Hi, Jason. I think I'm okay. I'm on the phone and I'm up on the screen. And it looks to me like Robert and Ben are also up as well as yourself.
Yep.
So I think I'm tacked.
I'm here.
Kind of waiting for everybody. Hello, Ben. Hi, Robert.
Good afternoon. Were you able to take some southeast rain back home to sunny Anchorage?
Actually, I did. It's been raining most of the day here, so. Same tomorrow, but they're predicting a better for the weekend, so I can live with that. Yeah, but I enjoyed the visit. I thought it went well.
All good.
Yeah, Jason, I'm just going to go on mute here, and I'll just stand by till we get closer to 4 o'clock.
Sounds good.
Yep. Thank you. Jason, do you recall the email address for the written comments?
I've got it. Let me swing back to my office and grab that.
Yeah, I just want to thank people for all the comments that they sent in and encourage them to do that.
Will do. I'll be back in a second.
Okay, thanks.
Well, Admiral, I am back at the chair. I've got our email addresses, and I see that we're at 4 o'clock.
Okay, and I've got...
Oop, you're breaking up a little bit.
I do see we've got one caller at least on. I also, maybe two. So what's the address for people to mail in comments?
Okay, so comments coming into the AMHS work group is dot.amh/reshaping@alaska.gov. So that's dot.amh/reshaping@alaska.gov. The okay. comments going to for winter schedule is dot.amhs.comments@alaska.gov.
dot.amhs.comments@alaska.gov.
Okay. And the one for our group again is dot.amh-reshaping@alaska.gov.
Okay. I'm ready to go whenever we want to start.
I think the helm is yours.
Okay. Well, good afternoon and welcome. This is Tom Barrett, and I'm the chair. We have several members of the, actually most of our board members from the Marine Highway Reshaping Group on, and we look forward to hearing your comments. We've received a lot of comments last week. We also received well over 100, I think about 120 at this point, written comments, email comments from people. And if I would encourage you, whether you testify or not, if you want to give us something in writing, we do read them and we do consider them seriously as well as what you say today. But our site for comments is dot.amh/reshaping@alaska.gov. That's dot.amh/reshaping@alaska.gov. I also wanted to mention, I know the state DOT just put out a winter schedule. We're not addressing the winter schedule. Again, if you recall, we're focused on long-term planning and long-term changes for the system to have it be sustainable well into the future. But if you do have comments about the schedule specifically and you want to send them in, that website is dot.amhs.comments@alaska.gov, if that's something you want to add comments on. So with that said, we'll just go right to the comments. I appreciate the people calling in. And the first one I have up is Glenda Hutton from HUNA. So, Glenda, welcome. We look forward to hearing your comments and paying attention to them. So please go ahead if you can hear me here. Glenda, are you on? Oh, there you go. Glenda, I see you're up now. I just want to welcome you and let you know that we look forward to your comments, and we appreciate you taking the time to give it to us, and please go ahead. Glenda, are you on? Glenda, are you on? Not hearing anything. Let's move on to the next commentator, who I show as Sam Dapsovich from Juneau.
I think Sam's just listening in from DOT side of stuff.
Okay. He's up on.
Brian, is Glenda ready to go?
Can you hear me?
I can.
We can now.
Yeah.
Okay.
We didn't have you at first, but thank you for calling in and welcome, and
okay.
We look forward to hearing from you.
All right. My name is Glenda Hutton, and I am also speaking for my husband, Bob Hutton. We have lived in HUNA, Alaska, for 45 years. The ferry is a state service that is absolutely essential to the economic well-being of coastal communities. Ferries are no less vital for our coastal communities than roads are for communities interconnected by a road system. No one questions the fact that our government funds highways, and no one should question our government doing the same for our ferry system, which is called the Marine Highway for a very good reason. As we found out last winter, lack of ferry service leads to disruptions in food supplies to both businesses and residents. Huna got to the point last February and March that donated food had to be brought in from Sitka and Juneau on fishing boats. And when it comes to health and safety, ferry service is even more vital in the winter when the weather can be unflyable for many days. I cannot emphasize enough that a reliable ferry is a state service that is absolutely essential to the well-being of coastal communities such as Huna. And thank you for allowing me the opportunity to give input.
Glenda, thank you very much, and we appreciate the comments. And we'll move now to the next speaker, Elijah Jackson, who's the mayor of Ozinki. Mayor, welcome. And Mayor, can you hear me? Welcome, and please go ahead.
All right. Thank you, guys. And yes, I can hear you. Thank you for having me on and taking the time to hear us out. But, you know, it's really the same thing Glenda just said. It's vital to our community. You know, we have no roads connecting us to Kodiak. And like she said, the relying on airplanes during the winter is not ideal due to weather. Also, the freight charges would just crush our community. The medical and health side of it, just me personally alone, last year I have a bad back, and the only way I could go in was on the ferry. They allowed me to just lay down on the floor, and you know, a plane ride would have just been excruciating. And we have so many stories that are like that on this island. And so we're needing help getting a second dolphin on our dock so we can have the Kennecott land here. We understand there's nothing we can do with this winter schedule. I'm reaching out to a contractor we have here fixing our penstock pipeline to see if they can come with their barge, you know, maybe once or twice a month to help us out. But yeah, we can't stress enough the importance of having the ferry in our community. We also have a farm here where we're looking to sell to the co-op in Kodiak, and we have two hoop houses where we can still grow and produce through the winter. And so having that ferry too would help us transport our goods over there. So the economic growth that it brings, and just the health and safety aspect, and helping our community be able to keep stocked up on groceries, there's just not enough I can even say about it. So I thank you guys for the time and hearing me out, and I hope we can get this situation fixed. Thank you.
Mayor, thank you. We appreciate the comments and the time that you took to provide them. We'll move on to our next caller, Stanley Hort. I apologize if I have your last name wrong there, Stanley, from Petersburg.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm a retired engineer from the ferries. I've lived here over 50 years, and Ms. Hutton was right on, and I support her opinion and her facts completely. The ferry system is not run like it used to be. We need managers and staff that know the maritime business and from the ships. We need more business, like the business that we would get that would be brought back by the driver. Now, I know that you said this isn't just about winters, but it really does apply anytime, although mostly winter. Bring back the driver rides free program, because the worst thing anybody in the hotel industry or other things like that, even airlines, will tell you, the worst thing is a seat or a room that isn't sold, even if it isn't sold at the going price. We need a better rate system for rooms and car deck. So the worst case is the unsold car deck space, which means that space isn't used and isn't earning anything in the unsold staterooms. And how can you raise rates when business is poor and the staff, well, whoever's pulling the strings on AMH up in Juneau, they just keep raising the rates when business is poor and people are hurting, and you can't do that. People aren't going to ride, and you're not going to make even part of what you need to try to even things up. I believe, and I read the Alaska Journal of Commerce, I believe the ferry revenue still goes into the general fund. We need separate accounting to show the money that we do make. And this has been a battle that's been going on for 30 or 40 years. We need some kind of a funding or a system, revenue system, to be able to show and possibly keep the money that the ferries make, something like the railroad. And the railroad, they have all this acreage that they're making money on somehow, and I don't know what, according to the business journals. And if the state owns the railroad, why doesn't the railroad put money into the other transportation systems also? Anyway, thank you for the chance to speak up and speak out.
Thank you, Stanley. This is
Cordova Chamber of Commerce. Kathy, can you hear me? Jason, I don't see her being pulled up. There we go.
There we go.
Hello. Thank you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Kathy. Welcome, and please go ahead. We look forward to your comments.
Thank you, Admiral Barrett. The Alaska Marine Highway System serves as a vital transportation corridor, just like the Glen, Richardson, and Seward highways. In fact, it's the only surface road connection for businesses and individuals in communities like Juneau, Sitka, Ketchikan, Kodiak, Cordova, Dutch Harbor, and many others to buy and transport large equipment, specialty items, and bulk quantities from within the state. These are large purchases. It's an interstate, and maybe you could even call it an international road. And just like the Glen, Richardson and Seward highways, it is the responsibility of the entire state, all its residents, to pay for the continued access and upkeep of this critical piece of the state's transportation infrastructure. I'll echo the question of many others during this comment period. Why is the AMHS expected to pay for itself when none of these other roadways are held to that same standard? The fact is that the entire state of Alaska benefits from the Alaska Marine Highway System, and not only of a significant amount of its ridership. Businesses and coastal communities use the AMHS to spend millions annually in Anchorage and with vendors statewide. Their alternative is to buy from Seattle and ship via Seattle barges or online. Not only does that expense burden small businesses, but it cuts the economic output to Anchorage and other statewide vendors. For example, a local Cordova restaurant and hotel owner estimates a savings of $50,000 to $100,000 per year when running freight trucks directly to Anchorage via Whittier on the ferry. This business alone spends hundreds of thousands of dollars with Anchorage and in-state vendors each year. Consider for a moment how many businesses like this exist in each of the 27 Alaska communities that are dependent on the AMHS as their primary connection to the road system in the state. Providing a consistent, reliable schedule at least 6 months, if not a year or more in advance, is necessary for businesses to utilize ferry service. And that's extremely important to the success of the Marine Highway, but that schedule is based on the needs of the users. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to the user interface for buying tickets online as well. I can't tell you how many calls we get at the visitor center from first-time users confused and unable to successfully book a ferry ticket online. The AMHS also directly benefits from this business traffic. Copper River Seafoods, for example, they're an Anchorage-based seafood processor that relies heavily on fish from Cordova and Prince William Sound. They've spent as much as $1.4 million in fares in a single year to transport employees and equipment and to export seafood when schedules are reliably consistent. Those are the key words. Businesses are really struggling right now due to the pandemic, and now is not the time to place another burden on businesses and weaken the main mode by which Alaskans buy Alaskans. Coastal residents are well aware of the benefits to Anchorage and the rest of the state from business traffic originating in coastal communities. But the question is, how can we make this message resonate with the rest of the state? The Alaska Marine Highway System, I think, could benefit significantly from an awareness campaign targeted at inland Alaska residents. Whatever your recommendations are as a group, I'd encourage you to consider including that piece. Tourism is also really suffering as an industry right now. Cruise lines have become a huge part of the tourism economy, and it may be a while before they're able to operate safely at the same level that they have in the past. Before cruise ships, many travelers used the Alaska Marine Highway System as their cruising option in Alaska. And the primary demographic of people who are still traveling for pleasure right now, in the industry, we call them independent travelers, and they are your ideal AMHS customer. You could capitalize on that. You could work with the statewide and community tourism groups to promote travel within the state on the Marine Highway System. The Alaska Tourism Industry Association is doing good work to promote tourism in-state, and I bet they would be more than willing to partner with you, as well as local destination marketing organizations like mine. In closing, I want to thank you for your efforts on this committee, and I want to sincerely thank you for this opportunity for public comment. It's really important. The Alaska Marine Highway System is just too important to the state of Alaska to mismanage. And so Cordova supports the 7 clearly laid out policy recommendations in Mayor Clay Copeland's white paper, which I think you've received, but I'll just run through the bullet points right now. Design vessels and support infrastructure specifically for the region they'll serve, and place the vessel there and the infrastructure in that region and keep it there. Develop operating decisions from the ground up. Chart and maintain a strategic course for the system. Provide reliable, consistent service. Prioritize customer service and convenience, not system convenience. And maximize the federal capital funding for the system. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. We appreciate the comments, and we'll give them serious consideration. Our next caller is Chris Brooks from Haynes. Chris, can you hear me?
Yeah, Admiral, I can hear you.
Yeah, well, welcome, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate the hard work the committee has done over the last few months to get a good direction for the system. I'll keep my comments fairly brief. There are so many facets of the Marine Highway that can be improved upon. I think it's beyond the scope of this committee to get down to every single one. The biggest issue that faces Marine Highways right now is the leadership, the direction that the system needs to go. I think you'll find that if a consistent management structure with accountability of the public is implemented, that a lot of the other issues with Marine Highways will be resolved just through good policy and decision making. And also including all of your players within the Marine Highway, from the communities to the vessel employees to the state politicians. There's several troubling directions I've seen the last few months, and that is a desire to reduce the Marine Highway to the bare minimum service necessary. We've already gone down the path of raising rates and reducing service, raising rates and reducing service, in the expectation that that's somehow going to fix the problems. If we start going towards a minimum level of service, I don't think anybody's addressed what's going to happen to the federal funding that the Marine Highway gets, the federal dollars coming in. Not only that, but the state of Alaska, I believe, owns the shipyard in Ketchikan, which is being leased out by a private company, Vigor Alaska. At what point does that private company say, well, we're not going to get enough business to support this shipyard, we've got to pull out, and now the state is going to be left with a huge liability in Ketchikan with nobody that's going to want to take it over because there's not going to be the business for it, and that's unfortunate. Also, another quick comment here, living in Haines and being connected to the road system is always wonderful. It's always been convenient to be able to drive out when it was convenient up until a few months ago when the road closed. It kind of puts a perspective on how necessary the Marine Highway is to be able to go and get essential goods and services and have access to health care. Not every community along the coast has that option. So I'd just like to stress that the long-term solution here would probably be a management structure that's going to be a little more sustainable than the one we have right now. And once again, thank you. Thanks to everybody on the committee for their hard work and dedication to this. You're making a difference for a lot of people, and it's very much appreciated. Thank you.
Chris, thank you. We appreciate the comments, and we'll consider them seriously. Let's go to the next caller, who I show is Michael McNally from Ketchikan. Michael, can you hear me?
I can. It's good to talk to you, Admiral Barrett.
We look forward to hearing from you.
My name is Michael McNally. I'm calling today from Ketchikan. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the working group, and thank you for the opportunity to give public input on this topic. I'm an Alaskan by choice rather than birth, having arrived in the state in July 2003 aboard the Kennecott, and I recall every ferry trip I've taken during the 17 years since then. They're among my most treasured memories of life in Southeast Alaska. And many of the people today are speaking of the crucial importance of the Alaska Marine Highway System to the communities of Southeast, South Central, and Southwest Alaska. Since you're already hearing many variations on that topic, I won't waste your time except to say that I fully agree with them. Instead, I'd like to address a point that I hear less frequently made, but one which I urge you to keep in mind as you plan the future of the Marine Highway System. During the 17 years I've lived in Alaska, I cannot recall a time when the long-term future of the ferry system wasn't under some kind of threat, either reductions in service or, increasingly in recent years, potentially the end of service altogether. As an engineer whose professional life involves making decisions related to future planning and risk management, I want to point out that to the working group that this shadow of uncertainty that hangs over the ferry system and has hung over the ferry system for decades, in and of itself, that uncertainty exerts a cost upon the residents of coastal communities that depend on the ferries. Because how does one plan to build a business or even build a life in a community that's dependent on the service when that service is constantly under threat? Communities that are served by the Marine Highway System are really tired of having to fight this issue again and again and again. I would therefore like to urge the members of the group not only to find a way to continue service, but also to get the state to commit to an ongoing support so that residents of communities served by the Marine Highway System can expect service to be there not just tomorrow, but far enough in advance for communities to make plans and see them come to fruition. Service needs to be consistent and predictable, or the residents of communities served by it will never be able to use it to its full potential. Thank you very much for this opportunity to comment.
Michael, thank you. And do you have a sister who's retired Coast Guard?
Yes, I'm Captain McNally's brother.
Yeah, so please extend our regards to her, too, and hope
I will, and I know that she does
well.
I will, and I know that she does the same for you and your family.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Michael. Next speaker is Jaylene Kukesh from Juneau, Alaska. Jaylene, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
I can. So welcome, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you. My name is Jaylene Kukesh. I'm Vice President for Policy and Legal Affairs for Sea Alaska Corporation. Sea Alaska Corporation is based in Juneau, and we serve over 22,000 Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian shareholders. And we have annually developed priorities for public policy initiatives, and this issue has consistently been at the top of our priority list per our board of directors. And that's in particular because of our communities. We are based in Southeast, and many of our communities are coastal, isolated, but for the ferry system or the very expensive flight service that's available. And it's so critical that we have the ferry system operating for the public safety, for the health, for food security, for so many things, including the economics and the economies of our community. When the ferry system was shut down due to maintenance, we had many communities that had empty shelves. And that's not acceptable. We need to make sure that that doesn't happen. And all of this was exacerbated by COVID as well. And so we had some communities in very dire straits, and we had to reach out and help. So I guess I just really want to emphasize the importance on behalf of Sea Alaska of having a reliable system, having a cost-effective system for the residents so that they can have reasonably priced passenger service and to bring their cars into town to load them up with food. We also need to see better planning for maintenance of the system so that we don't, again, have all the ships in dry dock at the same time and no service at all for communities for months. And I just want to thank all of you for your work on this issue. I know it's not easy. All of us know that operating in Alaska is very difficult in terms of cost and infrastructure. And we at Sea Alaska have certainly learned that we can't solve problems in our communities alone, and just encourage you to look at a collaborative approach to seek partners and innovative solutions to solve this problem for all of our communities. And we certainly hope that we can be a part of that process, because the services provided to our Southeast communities is so critical. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak on behalf of many of our communities. I'm based in Juneau, but I'm originally from Angoon. We don't have a runway, so I know that it's very critical for my own home community and my family out there. So I just really appreciate the opportunity to speak, and I hope that we can find some solutions so that we can have a sustainable, cost-effective system. Thank you.
Thank you, Jaylene. We appreciate the comments, and we'll seriously consider them as we do our work and shape our recommendations. The next caller is Brian Himblew from Kodiak. Brian, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you. Welcome, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you and the committee for doing the really hard work of trying to, as you say, reshape the ferry system. I moved to Alaska in 1987, and I've been here ever since, and now I am retired, so I plan to live in Alaska for the foreseeable future. And my earliest memory of being on the ferry was back in 1989, Mount Rita blew out. And I was teaching in Fairbanks, and, of course, no flights were coming either way. So the next best situation was to take ground transportation from Fairbanks to Anchorage and then take some ground transportation from Anchorage to Seward, which, of course, was one of the ports for the Tustamina. I stayed over in Seward. This was around late December, and I was able to hop on the ferry and get home to Kodiak. A really special event in my life, and made me really treasure the ability of using marine transportation. I'm originally from the Midwest, and I hadn't been on a ferry before. However, ever since, there's been some real challenges to the ferry system, and I hope that the state of Alaska would take pride in the Alaska Marine Ferry System and try to, you know, kick it up a notch and keep it running and make it useful, because it has so many facets that are really important. You heard from people from Southeast and even the mayor of Yuzinki, which is across the water from us. And it looks like in the foreseeable future, there's not going to be a bridge from Kodiak to the mainland. So I think it'd be a much cheaper solution to continue with the ferry system. And I would urge you to try to do everything you can in your power to replace the Tustamina. She's served quite well, but she's in her latter days. And from what I understand, there, the new ferry, 90% of it will be paid by the feds if the state would kick in a 10% match. A couple other things that might be important, I would urge the ferry system to have some kind of frequent traveler program, especially for people who use the ferry quite a bit. Maybe they would get discounts from multiple bookings, and this would be geared to Alaskans. One of the problems I see is it's pretty much a political problem because the legislature is dominated by people in the rail belt, and maybe they don't use the ferry system. However, people in those communities of Soldotna or Sterling or Wasilla or Palmer actually do come to Kodiak, and a lot of times they would like to take the ferry so they can come down here and hunt for Sitka black-tailed deer or go fishing. That's been precluded because of the schedule's been inconsistent. There's been too much repair downtime, and the schedule is just not reliable. So if it was more consistent, I would actually travel more as a retiree to travel around the state on the ferry system. There's a lot of places I'd like to go. I'd like to go from Kodiak to Dutch Harbor. I'd like to, again, take my car and go on the ferry from Kodiak to Homer and then drive around the peninsula and then hook up to going down the Alaska road highway, which I haven't done. And I would do that with my own personal vehicle, which would be much, much cheaper than trying to fly and rent a car and have a hotel because I have the ability to camp out. So there's a lot of savings with the ferry system. It's a real necessity. And it should be subsidized. There is no public transportation system that I know of that pays for itself. Even the New York subway system is subsidized. We should be very similar to the Washington State Ferry. We should be very similar to the British Columbia Ferry. I've been on both of those, and they're excellent services. Of course, they have bigger population base, which they can have more passengers. But as you've heard, there's a lot of people in coastal Alaska who have no airports, who have no other means of transportation other than the ferry, and it's really important for us to continue to have the Alaska Marine Highway system now and into the future. So I thank you for taking my comments, and I appreciate all the work that you are doing. You have a hard job. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. We appreciate the comments, and we'll consider them. Let's move to our next speaker, Marilyn Menefmayuchi. If I have your name wrong, Marilyn, I apologize. But welcome, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Okay, this is Marilyn Menefmayuchi, and can you hear me okay?
I can, thank you.
Okay, I live in Petersburg, and I have lived in Alaska since 1959. I feel strongly about having a healthy, working Alaska Marine Highway system for coastal Alaska. The Alaska Marine Highway System needs a director that is not a political appointment that changes with every governor. The Alaska Marine Highway is vital to the economy, I'm sorry, to the economic stability and growth of coastal Alaska, and the Alaska Marine Highway also needs to be fully funded. The new pricing system for the fares has got to go. That is a deterrent for Alaskans that want to go on a trip next week and a reason many are not traveling on the Alaska Marine Highway system. Right now, if I want to take my car to Bellingham, it would cost close to $4,000, including two people and a stateroom. And I personally would prefer going to Prince Rupert, which I've done many times and driven down, and it's a wonderful trip to do, but I can't because of COVID, and even before COVID, they have taken Prince Rupert off of the schedule. I want to say the highways do not make money. I'm going to say that again. Highways do not make money, and we're talking about the Alaska Marine Highway System. I'm very tired of every time that there's a new governor, we have to have hearings and we have to beg for money and we have to say, no, we really need this. This has been happening for way, way too long. I cannot believe that the service in the coastal communities is worse now. It's less and worse than in 1985. We had a fabulous ferry, Alaska Marine Highway System, and it wasn't taken care of properly, and there was not planning for the future because the director kept changing every 4 or 8 years. And a lot of times the directors do not have the marine experience or experience working with ferry systems. So this needs to really be worked on and included in your plan. And the bottom line is the coastal communities and the interior also needs the Alaska Marine Highway System. Thank you very much, and I have been listening to your probably about half of your working meetings, and it's been very interesting. I really especially enjoyed when you had the engineers on because they had a lot of things to say that I really hope you've incorporated into your report, and I hope that in the future people will listen to engineers and the captains that work on the Marine Highway System and have the knowledge and that we need to have a working Alaska Marine Highway System. And the reason I keep saying Alaska Marine Highway System is because it is a highway, and I just want to emphasize that. Thank you very much for listening and for having this time to share our thoughts.
Thank you, Marilyn. We appreciate the comments, and certainly we'll consider them. Our next caller is Philip Mosier from Juneau. Philip, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. Well, welcome, and we look forward to hearing your comments.
Okay, thank you. My name is Philip Moser. I'm a resident of Juneau. I was born and raised here. I've used the ferry my whole life. A lot of people proposed a road out of Juneau, saying that that would be more effective, that it would be more efficient, it would bring in more money than a highway system. But even if that was true, in multiple studies, have said that it's not. It precludes the existence of the constellation of Southeast communities that rely on the ferry for their existence. These communities have been built up to what they currently are through the existence of the ferry. Through the existence of the ferry as not a privately owned enterprise. I believe that the governor's own studies show that the ferry could not be privately funded. The ferry needs to be, the Alaska Marine Highway System needs to be funded appropriately. And the premise of the governor's directive to decrease costs to run in line with income is not workable. It's not how public systems work. We've had the ferry here for a long while, and it's necessary for the Spivewood community. It's necessary, and we've seen that since throughout this year, as we had trouble with the ferries earlier in the year, like a previous caller mentioned, we saw how quickly that we had people, smaller communities outside of Juneau, start running out of food and other necessary supplies, lose access to medical care, and lose access to family members in town. We saw school children cut off and waylaid on trips for a week at a time away from their homes. Firstly, my partner moved up from Oregon around the beginning of March, and the initial plan was to use the ferry. However, as the ferry system became unreliable, that became no longer feasible. It was a lot of work and a lot of trouble to figure out another way to get both her, a car, and a dog up. The ferry system is necessary here. The ferry system is a part of our life here. And just like a constellation, it doesn't make any sense without the connections. The communities here do not continue to go on the way that they currently are without the connection of the Alaska Marine Highway. There's just no other option. There's no other feasible option that makes sense for the constellation of D-bound communities that we have here. The idea that we can run the ferry system, the profit-making enterprise, cannot work. I hope that in your dealings and that in the discussions of the ferry reshaping network, that there's a strong push back against the governor's cuts to the ferry system and cuts to the funding of the ferry system. We've seen over and over, not just with this governor, but multiple administrations, that the more these public systems get cut, the more it costs, either if maintenance that is deferred and builds up into larger issues, or into people's livelihoods and well-being here in the community. I promise, if we fund the ferry system adequately, it will cost less. If it will cost less to Alaska, it will have much greater economic and social impact than any cutback of funding to the system could possibly do. So with that, I would urge you, please, please, try to push for more funding for the system. Please, please, try to push not to privatize the ferry system, because it's simply not going to work and it's not meant to work. It's meant to degrade, destroy our infrastructure here that we so desperately need. Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. Admiral, are you on mute, maybe?
Maybe.
I can hear fine.
Can you hear me?
I just heard you chime in.
Okay, well, my line was muted, I think, by the system, because I'm not on mute. And I show the next speaker as Marion Mills.
Hi, this is Marion Mills. Can you hear me?
I can, Marion. Welcome, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Thanks so much. I'm the Program Director of Southeast Senior Services, and our mission is to help older Alaskans remain in their own homes and traditional communities for as long as possible through providing Meals on Wheels, wheelchair accessible transportation, and other services. We operate a network of senior centers throughout Southeast Alaska, and most of the communities we serve are only accessible by boat or plane. Our staff and senior citizens live in Angoon, Craig, Haines, Hoona, Juneau, Cake, Ketchikan, Powak, Saxman, Sitka, Skagway, Wrangell, and Yakutat. The Alaska Marine Highway is a virtual lifeline to these communities and to our programs. The most cost-effective way that our senior centers in communities such as Angoon and Hoona can get their food is through transportation made possible by the Alaska Marine Highway. In the month the ferry is not running, our food costs skyrocket. We also depend on the ferry to transport our lift-equipped buses to Juneau from the villages where there are no local mechanics for their annual preventative maintenance. This past year, when the ferry service was curtailed, our senior center vehicles were not able to get timely maintenance. This affects their ability to operate efficiently, safely, and to last for the many years we need each of them. The elders in our villages also depend on the Alaska Marine Highway to access life-sustaining medical care in Sitka, Ketchikan, Juneau, and beyond. Especially during the winter months and in inclement weather when planes cannot fly, the elders need the ferry to get the care they need. Older Alaskans have built our state, and we owe it to them to give them access to the services they need through dependable Alaska Marine Highway service. Thank you so much for allowing me to testify.
Thank you, Mary Ann. We appreciate the comments, and we certainly will seriously consider them. Our next caller is Paulette Moreno from Sitka. Paulette, can you hear me?
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Paulette Moreno. I am the Alaska Native Sisterhood Grand President. This afternoon, I would like to greet the chairman and members of the Alaska Marine Highway System Reshaping Group. Thank you so much for taking the seconds of two public comments from your constituents here in Alaska. The Alaska Native Brotherhood and the Alaska Native Sisterhood is the oldest known Indigenous person civil rights organization in the world. For over 100 years, ANB and ANS has represented many communities, including the coastal communities that the Alaska Marine Highway System represents today. This is our traditional homeland. Part of our Constitution states that we will continue to create a true respect in Natives and in other persons with whom they deal for the letter and the spirit of Declaration of Independence in the Constitution and laws of the United States. Quoting that, I would like to say that the Constitution speaks of many things, but the idea of the Constitution speaks of fair and equal citizenship. Last year, the Alaska Native Brotherhood Grand President Heather Gerko and I penned a letter to the governor. The letter was dated February 17, 2020. If I may quote, "We, the Grand Presidents of the ANB and the ANS, are tasked with addressing and being part of a solution for issues facing our Indigenous people. One of these issues was the Alaska Marine Highway. We declare this as a humanitarian crisis with deep cultural implications. Since time immemorial, the Indigenous people of Alaska have and continue to have a deep connection to the waters of our ancestral homeland. We have always used the waters for our people to connect with us and to share their culture with each other, to protect each other, to trade with each other, and to provide sustenance for our people. As Alaska Native people with our neighbors, Native Alaskans, I come before you at this time to state the date of this letter once again of February 17, 2020. Following our time in Alaska, in Juneau, the capital, where we presented this letter, we then went on to Sitka the following week. Grand President Gerko and I met with the ANB Camp No. 1 and ANS Camp No. 4 presidents, where we had a town hall meeting in regards to the Marine Highway System. At this town hall meeting, many of the people from Sitka came forward. We also included a call for any type of food that could be provided within 24 hours, over 2,000 pounds of food came to the Alaska Native Brotherhood Hall in Sitka. The reason that I'm saying this is extremely important. As the community came together, they began to see pictures and posts and many other things on social media of our community. Our communities were going without food. The shelves were empty. This was definitely a humanitarian crisis, without medical supplies, things for the babies, and many other stuff. So we as Grand President and the local camp leadership, it was very, very heartfelt in our community. And Sitka came together, and with the food, they did a grassroots effort to provide it to the different communities that we could get to, such as Cake, Angoon, Puna, and other communities. So at this time, we would like to present before you that we had in the letter asked for a few seats on the board, of which our respected members sit before you. Grand President Gerkel and I asked that we would have a seat for A&B and A&S on the reshaping work group. The reason is that as people who have this as an ancestral homeland, we wanted to offer solutions, advice, and guidance. These are our people that we are speaking of. This is our traditional homeland. This was a humanitarian crisis. With the addition of COVID-19 that has hit many of our communities, even within the last few weeks, increased cases in Cape, Yakutat, Angoon, and Sitka, this is definitely also a health crisis. With our school, many of the schools being closed, this is also an educational crisis. This is a human rights crisis. As we come before you at this time, one of the questions I understand that your committee has asked is what would the minimum amount of service a community can handle? We believe that the minimum amount of service a community can handle is at the highest need possible for our community. We need to maintain our service at the level it's at and actually even increase it. I know that may be difficult to do because of the money that is involved in what it would take. However, we have some suggestions. If the reshaping board can once again... Hello? I'm sorry, I hear a little bit of sound in there. If the reshaping board could consider placing an A&B and A&S representative on your board, I think that would be a positive step. Also, if this board could consider having crisis money, this could be declared a public crisis, we may be able to get additional money into our community. One of the things that we would not like to see is a repeat of last year. Last year was very difficult, and this winter schedule is going to be very difficult. This is a basic human right. This is a civil rights issue, and we stand together with the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood. In our resolution, it is Resolution 1914, available on our Grand Camp website, which is to request no further cuts to the Alaskan Green Highway. At this time, we also would like to once again declare this a state of emergency. This is a civil rights crisis, and I believe we could get funding if the state did declare it as an emergency. Also, USDA to all communities. All communities could benefit from the USDA food commodities program, which would be provided in their communities. So, and last but not least, once again, we would like to ask for a seat on the board for the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood, since we are an ancestral voice and since many of our people are in these communities. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate the work that you are doing. However, we would like to once again state that as we come before you, this is a human crisis. This is a medical crisis, an educational crisis, and the COVID-19. It is something that's very, very difficult in our hearts. So thank you so much once again for your time. Again, this is Paulette Marino, Alaska Native Sisterhood Grand President, respectfully.
We appreciate the comments, and we'll consider them. Thank you, Paulette. Our next caller is Nikki Shelton from HUNA.
Nikki, before you jump in, this is Jason Bloom with DOT. I just want to remind everyone
as a courtesy aspect to all the people calling in, if we can keep to 3 minutes, we do have a long list of people wanting to speak today. Go ahead,
okay.
Nikki.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Nikki. Welcome, okay. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Nikki Shelton, and I have lived in Hoonah for 46 years. I first want to emphasize that, excuse me, for us, the ferry is not a convenience. It enables residents to access essential needs and services just like the Glen, Seward, and Richardson highways do in other areas of the state. And the DOT draft plan states, quote, "The plan is designed to meet community service needs while staying within available funding levels," unquote. This plan does not meet the community service needs for Hoonah, and we have very dramatic examples from the interrupted and non-service that we had last winter. Hoonah has no doctors or hospitals, so we must travel from here to doctors and treatments in Juneau, Sitka, Anchorage, and Seattle. The only alternative to the ferry is Alaska seaplanes. And seaplanes requires physical mobility to use the planes. And many Hoonah residents cannot do this due to either physical disabilities or age-related infirmities. So the Alaska Marine Highway is the only way for some residents to access necessary medical care. When the ferry shut down last winter, we had people who had increased health problems because they couldn't get the treatments they needed because there was no ferry. The DOT plan also says that minimal service is offered due to the lack of revenue during the COVID pandemic, and part of the revenue problem lies with DOT policies. My doctors told me to stay off the ferry because masks were not required or being worn by employees or the passengers. And other people were afraid to travel by ferry because of this. And masks were not required until June 24th. So that hurt ferry revenues. AMHS is the only highway in Alaska that creates any revenue. And if you ignore the counterintuitive flexible fare system, my round-trip ticket for two senior citizens and our vehicle for the 45 miles from Hoonah to Juneau is $366. Driving the same distance from Anchorage to Wasilla is free. And different rules apply to non-marine highways. When the Glen Highway was severely damaged in the 2018 earthquake, service was not curtailed due to decreased revenue. Funding was allocated to make the repairs so that traffic could keep moving. 2 months without service from February to April would create medical and financial hardships. I would hope that ships could be moved around to cover necessary layups. Trying to recoup revenue losses by eliminating ferry service or raising rates more is not an equitable plan. I thank you for your time, and excuse me, we definitely appreciate your hard work and the effort you're putting into this. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Nikki. We appreciate the comments. Our next caller is Shannon Donahoe from Haynes. Shannon, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you. Welcome, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to comment today. My name is Shannon Donahue, and I'm phoning in from Haynes. Last week, I testified on behalf of myself as a private individual, but today I'm testifying on behalf of Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. SEAC represents constituents in communities across Southeast Alaska, and we're concerned with the social and economic well-being and sustainability of these communities, for which safe, reliable, regular scheduled ferry service is essential. The Alaska Marine Highway is a critical component of Alaska's transportation infrastructure and the national highway system. It is a key economic driver of coastal communities and the Southeast region, and these economic benefits ripple across the state. The Alaska Marine Highway's stated mission is to provide safe, reliable, and efficient transportation among Alaskan communities, Canada, and the lower 48, and to provide opportunities to maintain a reasonable standard of living and high quality of life, including social, education, and health needs. Coastal Alaskan communities historically served by the Marine Highway system depend on regular, reliable, frequent transportation service, in many cases daily or several sailings per week. Our economies and lifestyles have been designed and built around the guarantee of regular, reliable service for essential travel, commerce, reasonably priced transportation of goods, vehicles, mail, items that can't be flown, school-related travel, community events, and tourism. The Alaska Marine Highway System is not an expendable luxury, but an essential service for travel and commerce between communities and a link to Canada and the lower 48. In recent years, we've seen diminished service due to insufficient scheduling, deferred vessel maintenance, and in some cases, vessels that are poorly matched to the routes they serve. Over the year, some communities have endured long periods without service or have been eliminated completely from the seasonal operating schedule. Now we are asked to accept a new normal of minimal service due to the state's extreme austerity measures that disenfranchise coastal communities and harm our state economically and culturally. This is unacceptable, and it is incompatible with the Marine Highway's mission. As the work group prepares to make recommendations about future governance, structure, management, and operation of our Marine Highway, please keep in mind that the primary purpose of our ferry system is to serve Alaskans in our transportation needs, regardless of profitability. While adjustments could surely be made to improve efficiency and the bottom line, it's impossible for a severely reduced ferry schedule to make more money, and it's unreasonable to look to the fare box as the only economic metric, when the McDowell Group's 2016 study found that the state of Alaska's general fund investment of $117 million resulted in a total return on investment of $273 million, a return of more than 2-to-1. Frequent, reliable ferry service benefits the entire state economically. As you consider changes to governance structure, please prioritize transparency, accountability, and public participation, and keep in mind that service levels should be tied to community needs, not to the profitability of the fare lots. I appreciate the work that the Reshaping Work Group has done, and thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Shannon. We appreciate the comments, and we'll consider them, and obviously seriously. Our next caller is Harriet Asado Beal from Sitka. Harriet, can you hear me? Harriet, are you on? Harriet, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hopel, welcome, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Okay, thank you. For this opportunity to testify to the reshaping of the Alaska Marine Highway Board of Directors. And my name is Harriet Miasato Bilio, Alaska Native Brotherhood Camp 1 in Sitka, Alaska, President. And during the COVID pandemic, it was very important to our citizens of Sitka that the Alaska Marine Highway continued to operate, especially we needed to, during these winter months, to the villages around Southeast Alaska. We are rather isolated here, and it is very expensive to fly, even to Juneau. We depend on the ferry system to travel for medical reasons, doing the shopping, especially for the Southeast villages, where there are no stores in these villages. Alaska Native Brotherhood Sisterhood has volunteered here in Sitka to give out boxes of food to our people during this pandemic. And Vince Winter, the manager of Lakeside Grocery, wrote a grant to the Department of Agriculture, and we have been able to give out food. Vince also shipped food to the villages like Amboon, Huna, Cake, and many other villages. These villages have been hard hit. We cannot afford flying. It's too expensive. Please continue to operate in the Southeast villages during the coming winter months. And we have been very fortunate to have the Alaska Marine Highway all these years. I thank you for keeping the Alaska Marine Highway operating and much more affordable to all the families who depend on the ferry. The Alaska Sea Alaska celebrations have been canceled, where 49 Dance Group have always gone to Juneau, which brings in revenue. Basketball tournaments canceled, so many other tournaments and conferences, such as the Klinkenhaida assemblies. So I'm saying, in other words, we need the Alaska Marine Highway. Your board can find more cost-effective ways to cut the expenses, we thank you very much for your hard work to keep the Alaska Marine Highway ferries operating. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Harriet. Thank you, Harriet. We appreciate your comments. And can we bring up Nancy Bird, who I have as the next caller? Nancy, are you on? Not showing Nancy. We have Maureen Moore from Juneau as the next caller.
Hi, I am here, and I hope everybody can hear me.
You can. Please welcome, and please go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks for this chance to speak up and support. My name is Maureen Moore, and I currently reside on Douglas Highway in Juneau. In the many years I've lived in Alaska, I've been lucky enough to have also been a part of the communities of Hoonah, Ketchikan, Homer, and Gustavus, all communities that rely on the Alaska Marine Highway system. I'm recalling a conversation with a longtime employee in which she said, "We carry the babies home from the hospital, and we carry the dead bodies home to their families, too." And that, to me, sums up how vital the Marine Highway is to coastal communities. It literally supports life. It supports life in the form of access to healthcare and hospitals, to afford food, to restock your pantry, economic life for bringing material goods to markets and bringing goods into the communities to resell. All of this also supporting the economies of the larger communities of Juneau, Sitka, Ketchikan. It supports educational life when our students are able to gather and compete, not only in sports, but for things like robotics, drama, debate, and forensics, to attend workshops in art and culture. And then there's social life, especially that of the indigenous communities, getting to celebration, to gold medal, attending potlatches to honor elders and family members, and visiting family and care facilities. We surely owe our indigenous neighbors an affordable method of transportation to facilitate their being able to stay in the communities they love. After all, we have benefited from the resources we extract from this land, be they sustainable or consumed, and never to be replaced. Those are a few of the human and humane reasons, I think, for continuing the service of the highway system in Southeast. And we need to remember that it is a highway system, a road system, not unlike the thousands of miles of pavement that serve other areas of this state. I also have a few comments about the strictly political way this issue seems to continuously be viewed. And although some may not want to divide our state by making comparisons of the size of our investments in any area, I believe it bears reminding that that's just the way it is. Our state is divided into regions, boroughs, towns, cities, voting districts. Every year, our political representatives are tasked with dividing up a set amount of money so that every district is satisfied with the performance of their representative. They form coalitions to levy power one against the other to bring home the bacon. No judgment, just the way it is. I've attempted to collect more facts about what we spend on paved highways, both building them and maintaining them. It seemed like a fairly straightforward thing to search for, but not so. The DOT budget was over 900 pages long last year and listed every employee position across the state and the cost thereof, but no clear numbers on what we pay for roads. It would seem that highways and aviation in one category of the budget, they're grouped together in one category, although the marine highway system is its own category. So aviation gets grouped with highways, but the marine highway has its own category. All this makes it easy to see what the ferry system costs, but not so what we spend on other transportation modes in the state, which leads me to wonder what numbers are being used to weigh the value of the ferry system. The McDowell Group report in 2016 determined that the return on investment was more than double. They also stated that 95% of the Marine Highway employees live in Alaska. The Alaska Marine Highway System spent over $84 million with over 500 Alaskan businesses, keeping a lot of that money in the state. Two-thirds of Alaska Marine Highway bookings are from Alaska. And Anchorage residents were the second largest subset of travelers. And Anchorage saw 4.1 million in sales from the Alaska Marine Highway. So each out-of-state ferry passenger spent almost twice what a non-ferry passenger did. We spent $117 million of general fund monies on the Alaska Marine Highway System in 2014. But how much did we spend on paved roads? So using the numbers from that McDowell study group, it sure looked like the Marine Highway was a good investment, in addition to being an immeasurable value to our health, the education of our youth, and the social strength of communities and cultures. Thanks for your time. I respectfully submit these comments in writing also, and good luck to us.
Thank you, Maureen. We appreciate the input. Our next caller is Kathleen Rice from Ketchikan. Kathleen, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, please go ahead. Welcome.
Thank you all so very much. My name is Kathleen Rice, and I live in Ketchikan. I promise that I am going to be under 2 minutes. I'm simply calling in to comment on the pricing system. Over the last 10 years, I've used the ferry system close to 100 times. I travel mostly between Ketchikan and Petersburg. These trips, many of them are last minute due to weather, so the planes are canceled or the needs of my elderly parents that live in Petersburg. Winter travel can be tough, and last minute travel on the ferry happens frequently. This new system makes no sense. Although the new system was explained as being what the way that airlines work, the ferry system is not an airline. There's no mileage or frequent user plan. There's no way to go on Priceline and get a less expensive ticket, nor does the ferry offer a companion fare. The Driver Goes Free program was a great program. We frequently used it. It was a great way to upsell the staterooms, and many people bought tickets and traveled in-state and out-of-state between October and April. I don't know if people really understand the importance of our ferry unless they actually use it. The marine highway is as important to us as the road highway is to those that live in northern Alaska. I do wish that some frequent users would have been asked to participate on the committee. I think perhaps that would have benefited everyone, so we would all have a better understanding and work together. Thank you all so much for your time and your patience today.
Kathleen, thank you. We appreciate the comments, and we'll seriously consider them. Next caller is Gershon Cohen from Haynes.
Gershon, thank you, Admiral Barrett. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can. Welcome, and we look forward to your comments.
Thank you. My name is Gershon Cohen. I've been living in Southeast Alaska since 1983 and Haynes since 1984. I agree with the people you've been hearing from repeatedly about the need for more sailings at a reasonable cost and having a regular schedule that runs during the day. And to just briefly respond to the DOT commissioner's comment last year about the Marine Highway being a convenience, until the folks in Anchorage and Mat-Su are paying tolls to support their use of the Glen and Parks highways, I think he needs to float a mile in our shoes. But aside from the broader points that most people are commenting on, I'd like to raise a specific consideration. Whatever level of system we eventually have, the Upper Lynn Canal day boat needs to be based out of Haynes or Skagway. When we go to Juneau for a few hours of business, a medical appointment, or to visit with a legislator, we have to take the ferry the day before, and the ferry leaves for Juneau late in the afternoon. We always arrive in the evening when everything is closed. Even if we do our business first thing the next morning, we can't take the ferry home that day because it left Juneau to head north at 7 a.m. So we have to spend another night in Juneau. If we are flying out of Juneau, we always have to spend the night in Juneau to catch a jet the next morning. With a morning ferry out of Haynes, we could get to Seattle or beyond in one day. The better part of 3 days and two nights of lodging and paying for meals for half a day in Juneau for a round trip with a vehicle from Haynes at the new rates can cost $750. Most people from Juneau coming north are passing through Haynes on their way north or are coming up for recreation. For us, the ferry is not entertainment. It is an essential service. In addition to the needs I mentioned earlier, I coached the Haynes High Drama Debate Forensics team for 12 years, and we traveled to tournaments throughout the school year by ferry. Without the ferry, it would be virtually impossible for our kids to have this incredibly important educational experience. I'm sure you can find enough ferry workers already in Haynes or folks that would love to live in Haynes to staff the day boat. Make it more convenient, and more people will use it. If more people use it, it will make more money to help offset the capital expense. Aside from the state's responsibility to provide us with reliable public transportation, the biggest impact you could have on the ferry's bottom line in the Upper Lynn Canal is to base the ship in Haynes or Skagway and have it go south first thing in the morning instead of the other way around. Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate the time you're spending on this.
Gershon, thank you very much. We appreciate the comments and we'll certainly consider them. Our next caller is Lincoln Dean from CAPE. Lincoln, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear me?
Well, please go ahead. We look forward to your comments.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking the call. And I support everything that's been said. It's really coming from the heart and soul of all the Alaskan people who lives in Southeast. I appreciate the leadership that takes the time to sit at the table to hear our concerns. I've been in healthcare most of my life out of CAPE. So I know how important those ferries are, and we can't have a part-time ferry system to face the social, the health, and the financial well-being of our communities. It's been said time and again that the need is there, and we shouldn't be a minority among transportation in this great state, especially from the capital city. Everyone looks at you and looks at the state and say, why aren't you getting any attention? I don't know. And I know it probably has a lot to do with the budget, but, you know, I don't even know what the budget is. So I can't tell you whether it's high, low, or medium, or what. If I've seen it, well, I definitely know it needs to be improved for not knowing what the budget is. So without seeing and not knowing, I can't say one way or the other. But, you know, if there was anything I could do to improve health care and the social well-being and the finance, would be to improve the health, the transportation system with the ferry. You shouldn't be sending them only to one community and then bypassing the others and leaving them on the beach. You know, it's a terrible reflection of how this business is being run when we see that. I'm being critical. If I offend anybody, please forgive me. It's not my intention. But when you tell it like you see it, I can expect you guys to fix it, but not with the budget that you have. And I think it needs to go to the finance people and the legislature and their governor that it needs to be improved. Thank you for your time. I appreciate everything that's being said and your leadership. Thank you very much.
Lincoln, thank you. We appreciate the comments and we'll certainly consider them. We go to our next caller. I see Bill Clutton from Juneau. Bill, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you for taking my call, and I'll be sure to try to keep this under 3 minutes. I'm just speaking as a private individual here in Juneau, Alaska. I've been in Alaska since 84. I spent the first 10 years up in Anchorage and the rest of the time down here in the southeast. I was with the military and civilian aviation. I've had a chance to travel and live all over the state. I would say that in preference to noting that I see just how vital the ferry system is, Alaska Marine Highway system, I should say, is to southeast Alaska and to its very survival. I've seen what communities who become increasingly isolated from the road, different road systems and different forms of transportation, they die and wither on the vine. And I see us heading toward, and you can see this in politics too, as more and more offices migrate from the state capital of Juneau up to Anchorage, we're becoming the state of Anchorage instead of the state of Alaska. And we need to keep in mind that the Southeast is a vital part of the state. And all the citizens in Southeast, as they are in other parts of the state, are all part of the same state of Alaska. I do ask that the people, particularly those who live in the rail and road belt in and around between Seward and Homer and up to Fairbanks, that just think about wherever they live, and if they want to move anywhere else, if their road suddenly disappeared and they couldn't have it, how would they get to where they wanted to go? And would they be able to stay where they're at for very long without either moving or having some other form of transportation that was equally accessible as the road they just lost? So anyway, and I'd just like to point out, I also think we, through it seems like management, although not being on it, I don't really know, but to sit there and have all of our ferries go into maintenance at one time or a great chunk of them, because deferred maintenance gets put off until it can't get put off any longer, it's a big mistake. I think that they shouldn't allow for deferred maintenance that long. There should be some kind of a time limit on it so this sort of thing doesn't happen. I also don't think that, you know, there's a necessity for it to be privatized. I'm all for private business and less government better, to be honest with you. But in this case, it's an infrastructure issue. Yes, like a lot of people pointed out, it's very much the same as any other road system in the state. We're not charging tolls for everybody to travel on the roads everywhere else. It all comes out of it. You get a lot of the talk, well, it's a different budget. It's a different pocket of money. It's a different this. Well, I'd also like to remind folks that those pockets of money didn't always exist either. And just as they were created, they can be altered to take advantage of whatever needs to be taken advantage of to make it work. And I think that's what it really comes down to is the willingness to get in there and make the tough choices and make it work. But the highway system in the Southeast is every bit as important as the highway system going in and out of Anchorage. And I think everybody ought to be viewing it that way who are going to be making these decisions. I also think that when they decide on the ferries that they're going to build, it seems like a little bit more care needs to be taken into account on what the communities who are actually going to use them, the end users, what type of ferry works best for them, and what does their infrastructure accept, so we don't have ferries that can't dock at certain docks, or we don't have ferries that can't be used half the year, or different things like that. We need to be looking at what works in our environment in the Southeast with the infrastructure that we have. and make some smart decisions along that way. So I guess let me look down my little list of things. I guess that's about really it. I hope that I kept it under 3 minutes.
You did. Thank you, Bill. We appreciate that. We appreciate the comments. Our next caller is Wayne Coogan from Juneau. Wayne, can you hear me?
Yeah, do you hear me?
I can.
Hello?
Welcome.
Hello?
We look forward to hearing from you.
All right. Thanks for letting me talk. You know, I've heard a lot of comments here, and they're all telling you what they need and how important it is, and they're expecting you guys to come up with solutions, more or less the way things are, but better or something. But I want to talk about, from your perspective a little bit here. Now, you know, Webster's definition of reshaping means to shape in a different form. That's what it means. And Webster's definition of ferry is a ferry or other ship or boat, especially, to travel a relatively short distance in a regular service, okay? So everybody wants to call this a highway. It's not a highway. It's not even a ferry system. It's a system of ocean liners. Ferries don't have beds and pillowcases and stuff on them. Those are ocean liners, all right? So Shakespeare said, a rose is a rose by any other name. In this case, an alligator is an alligator by any other name. All right, so let's just deal with it. We need to come up with a system of things that can help the people in Huna, the elderly, the people that are needy for food, etc. But we can't do it at the continuing cost that it's happening. Everybody compares it to the highways up north. Well, it's not a reasonable comparison. I mean, if you break it down and try to figure a metric, and you say the cost per automobile mile or per person per automobile mile or something, some of the ferry trips are 25 times more per automobile mile in cost than the cost for the Glen Highway per automobile mile. And it's an ongoing cost. And the ferries, it's a sprawling system of ships with millions of parts and pieces. And it's all subject to brutal repetitive wear cycles. And it's managed by politicians and bureaucrats and union people. I mean, you have to wonder why it doesn't work. I'm thinking we need to restructure it as per your committee's mandate. And in order to do that, we need to think entirely differently in order to truly reshape it. And I think a feasible model would be like the state-run airports. You'll notice that the state runs the airports, but it doesn't run the airlines, all right? Because the state realizes when it comes to aircraft, it cannot function in the details, the myriad details of trying to make that work. It would be a failure. They know it. Well, they haven't figured it out with the ferries yet, the boats, the ships, whatever you want to call them. I'm calling them ocean liners. It's not possible for the state to do it effectively. I mean, I saw a study where it costs a person $40 to take the ferry to Pelican, but the cost to the state was $2,800. All right. Everybody's talking about how much it costs to take the ferry. No, they're not. They're talking about how much it costs for their ticket, which is only 30% of the cost or less. So I'm saying, let's look at this model whereby the terminals become like little ports that are run by the state, and we get private operators for the marine aspect of it. Ferries, little private marine transportation boats that do passengers, and other ones that do freight and industrial, all various types. And they can pay a wharfage fee to the ferries just like the airports are run. And if need be, we can subsidize some of those to help the people that need the help. But the state can't run it. It's a miserable failure. We all know it. It's your guys' job to come up with a whole new model, and it's going to be painful. because I've heard on these comments that everybody wants everything to stay pretty much the same. But it's all, really truly all about the money. That's what it's about. And, you know, I don't envy your guys' job. You know, it's going to be a lot of pressure, but the money's going to dictate it. And there's a lot of fallacies being thrown around about the money. And there's a lot more money being spent than what people pay in ticket prices. Good luck, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wayne. We appreciate the comments. And we'll certainly consider them, a different perspective. Next caller is Rick Iannolino. Rick, if I didn't get your last name right, I apologize, but welcome, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you. My name is Rick Iannolino. I'm going to be very brief because I think most of the people said what I wanted to say and much more. I just want to focus on some of the same things, of course, reduce the ferry service and cancellation services to these communities creates a threat to our health and safety. It is clearly the responsibility of the state of Alaska to take care of the people of the state of Alaska. I have relatives in Huna. A round trip, one private air carrier, a round trip ticket to Juneau is $1,000. I also wanted to respond to the previous speaker. I've seen private ferry services, previous private ferry services go out of business. They can't survive because this kind of transportation is to care for the people of Alaska. The threat of reduced Alaska Marine Highway is threatening the system is threatening the life and the livelihood. The Alaska Marine Highway is literally our only highway, our only way of getting in and out. If many of the interior communities lost their major highways, this would certainly create a crisis for them as well. So we are one state. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rick. We appreciate the comments. Our next caller is Joe Williams from Saxman. Joe, can you hear me?
Yes, Joe Williams here, calling from Saxman. And I really appreciate all the thought that's going into reshaping our ferry system. And what I've heard loud and clear is that the Alaska Marine Highway is desperately needed in outlying communities. Just sitting here thinking about all that we have in our small community, Ketchikan, what's available to us, grocery stores, number one. Other communities don't have that. And number two, we have hospitals and a lot of communities don't have that. So you folks have a big job to put this thing together. It's really interesting that we're talking about the fate of Alaska Marine Highway when it was put together back in the late 50s, early 60s. And so with that, one thing to remember, when there's no ferry, it's just like being fogged in Ketchikan, like being fogged in Anchorage or fogged in Juneau. What do we do next? As was stated earlier, you jump in a car and you drive down to Seward so you can get to Kodiak. Well, we don't have that privilege presently, and it's really unfortunate. It's been more than 10 years since I've been able to take the ferry to Prince Rupert, and it used to be a yearly event for me. And we're just unable to do that. It's really unfortunate. The years of remembering being able to go to Juneau, Sitka and Wrangell for basketball and also for music fest. And so that was something that I grew up with and carried with me my entire life, and I'm 76. So our kids are missing that. So the quicker we settle this issue and the better it is for the future of our children. And one thing I was thinking about the bedroom community of Anchorage, which is Eagle River. You can't go to Anchorage because the snowstorm we had last night, and we don't have the equipment to plow it because it's on maintenance. How long do you get away with doing that? And that's what has happened to our Alaska Marine Highway. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate the comments. And our next caller, it looks to me, is Tom Williams from Juneau. Tom, can you hear me?
I can, Ann Rivera. Thank you very much for taking my comment. My name is Tom Williams. I arrived in Juneau on the Columbia in 1977, and where I've lived for the past 43 years. I'm representing myself as well as a coalition of individuals and business owners who want to encourage improved access to all of Alaska, and that includes Southeast Alaska. My comments relate to a very specific and practical recommendation. I realize that many of the other comments are in general in nature, and we must keep the system going, but this is a specific recommendation. What is that recommendation? Our recommendation is whatever else your report recommends, we believe it must recommend that the governor and DOT move forward without delay on a Cascade Point ferry terminal. Now, why is that? Well, there's a whole variety of reasons. First of all, this project has been thoroughly studied and recommended for some time now. It's an essential part of creating a more sustainable Alaska Marine Highway system. It's already been funded by state appropriations. It's construction ready with only a minor permit modification needed. It will create over 75 direct and indirect construction jobs over the next 12 years. It reduces the Lynn Canal round trip time to under 12 hours a day, saving the system at least $15 million over the next 10 years. It will increase Lynn Canal ferry ridership, increasing ferry revenues. That's from a Northern Economics report. It enhances the Skagway-Haines-Juneau ferry service for dramatically improved user satisfaction. I reference you back to the gentleman that spoke a little while ago about the difficulties of the schedule where it is right now and having to spend several days in Juneau just for a half-day trip. It will provide better capital access for all Alaskans. It allows the local mines here in the Juneau area and industry to hire more Alaskans from Haines, Skagway, and other localities who depend on an efficient Lynn Canal transportation system. And it will attract additional private investment, which always follows a government infrastructure development at Cascade Point. This is a perfect opportunity for a public-private partnership. And we hear a lot about that these days, but I think as you restructure things, you have to look towards those public-private partnerships. It's our understanding that the landowners, Gold Belt, out there at Cascade Point, is a willing and a very reasonable partner in this project and could willing to partner with the state. But it's curious. There's another reason here. I mean, this project is supported by business, labor, and a wide range of political perspectives. I've heard it said that some people said, well, boy, if I can, something's got to be good about this project if I can believe, if I can support it when somebody who typically is on the other side of the aisle supports it as well. Let me list you a few of those who support it. First of all, the Juneau Chamber of Commerce, First Things First Alaska, Senator Jesse Keel, the District Q, made comments at a Juneau Chamber of Commerce luncheon. It's understanding of Representative Andy Story for District 34 represents supports it. Lynn Canal communities of Haines, Skagway, and Juneau vis-a-vis their current comprehensive plans and public support for faster, more desirable or dependable ferry service, and the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 302. Those are just a few of the people, as well as, I think, a number of individuals around here. I think, you know, as we listen to the outpouring here, that you have to improve and make this ferry system work better for everyone, because it's something that people depend on. I think to look towards one or maybe very specific recommendations that can move forward without any delay, you would be well served to make that specific recommendation. And I just find it hard to believe that with this sitting here, it's kind of like a piece of ripe fruit, low-hanging fruit. And I strongly recommend, as well as the members of the Access Alaska Coalition, strongly recommend that you pick that low-hanging fruit, because the Cascade Point Ferry Terminal is an excellent partial solution and certainly a good solution for all those reasons and more for Northern Lynn Canal. I thank you very much for your comment, for the ability to comment, rather.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate the comment and the insight. Our next caller is Odin Brudy from Juneau. Odin, can you hear me?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Welcome, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, hi. And I just it asked me to unmute, so I assume I can still be heard. Is that right?
Yeah, you can be heard clearly. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks to the work group putting together some recommendations for the reshaping the marine highway system. I'm Odin Brudy, and I live in downtown Juneau. I've been looking for, in the reshaping project, looking for copies of the proceedings and recordings or podcasts with some of the developing recommendations, and haven't had luck finding them. So I have gone back to the January analysis by Northern Economics as something that I was able to chew on and look at how the recommendations were shaping up. And my comment is about the directive of this project is from that report is it's charged with reducing the state's financial obligation for the marine highway system. And so from what I've looked at and read, there's certainly looks at the different analyses from privatization to partial privatization, and a focus is on revenue over compared to costs, and sort of looking at the red ink or the how much these various options put the state in the red. And I'm just, as you prepare recommendations for, I guess, in essentially the governor and the legislature, I was looking for more about what is in that red ink. I look at it more not as a subsidy, as it's called here, but as an investment. And I think there's a lot sort of buried in that red ink, like what a lot of people have talked about here about the importance of mobility, having a seamless regional transportation system, and economic certainty for the communities, for commerce, mobility, movement of goods, access to services, food security, and so forth. And I think a lot of that is sort of buried and not in the red ink and not really quantified. So some of these could be looked at further and quantified, not so much as externalities, but perhaps internalities to this economic discussion. And I was familiar too with the economic impact study that McDowell Group did in 2016, I believe, that did look at some of the overall economic benefits of the marine highway system. But I think that, you know, that looks at employment and spending of the marine highway system, and then other general things. But what I think is really important to consider are the the things like the Marine Highway is a rescue vessel for ferries and fishing boats and downed airplanes and other things like that. And then something that is in the arguably millions and millions of dollars is the amount of money that's saved on the public safety aspect of transportation. And you can compare that with the highways up north, if you will. How much is the cost of car accidents and public safety and having a safe transportation system like the Marine Highway that's less dependent on the weather. And of course, visitors and tourism is spoken about too, but how can you quantify that more? For example, the state of Alaska analyzes statistics about how people arrive in Alaska and how much they spend, and consistently find that visitors who arrive by the Marine Highway system, they stay longer and spend more money than other visitors, and putting a value on that is very important. So just my comment is, and I was, like I say, I was looking at the information available and trying to read into it more information about those positive economic and community benefits when comparing costs versus expenses. So that's my comment, and thank you very much for working on this.
Thank you, Odin. We appreciate the comment, and we'll obviously consider it seriously. Our next caller is Judith Clark from HUNA.
Yes.
Judith, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Welcome, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you very much. Having lived in the HUNA area for over 45 years, my family and I have appreciated the Marine Highway system, but until cuts began in the schedule, we did not realize the vital link the ferry provides to those of us who live in the coastal communities. In the spring of 2019, we supported the proposed financial cuts to balance the state budget. One hot button issue was the ferry system. As we got toward the fall, with no ferry scheduled after September, we felt like we were about to go over the cliff into the great unknown. We planned ahead, adjusted accordingly, and got through till ferries resumed for a short time in December, January. Still not convenient, but we did it. Next, COVID hit, and we were dealing with a whole new set of circumstances. Travel was even more sporadic for both us and the ferry system, less convenient, less reliable, and definitely less cost-effective to the state. Here are a few of our observations from this time, last fall till the present. Number one, reliability of scheduling way in advance of departure of time allows us to plan ahead, arrange medical visits, and coordinate the many facets involved with a trip to Juneau or Ketchikan for those living in the farther south. Number two, good communication is also essential. Here again, the earlier, the better, so we know what to expect. And so we can plan ahead. So some of us in remote areas do not have reliable internet, so having some hard copy schedules of the local ferries at least is very helpful. Also, due to internet challenges, you may not be heard by us in a timely way, or perhaps at all. Then you won't hear back from us either. Someone said in a recent ferry teleconference that the first one this fall, the silence was deafening. Well, many of us never received the message about the teleconference at all. We do have things to say. Reliable communication is crucial. We all need to do better here, no matter what side of the issue we're on. Number three, logistical travel difficulties arising from changes in the ferry schedule are many, and here are a few. A, flying to Juneau is expensive, and you can't carry much back home with you without incurring a 70 cent a pound freight charge on baggage over 50 pounds. B, flying in and out necessitates vehicle rentals unless one has a friend or family in Juneau with an extra car you can borrow. C, flying is weather dependent. During the October to November no ferry For 5 days, we were stuck in Juneau on a no-fly list going to and from the airport for medical appointments, and ended up having to go finally on the 6th day were we able to get back to Huna. And had we had no gracious friends or family, the trip would have been very, very expensive. D, we in the villages have seen our lives severely limited to the inability to receive freight or due to the extended delays in getting freight in from Juneau since the ferry cuts began. Life is different for all of us. We need to work together for the best of all Alaskans. We appreciate your consideration of our needs here in the Southeast area. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Judith. We appreciate the comments and certainly will consider them. Our next caller is Frank Wright from the Huna Indian Association. Frank, are you on?
Yes, I'm here.
Please go ahead. Welcome.
Hi. My name is Frank Wright. I'm the president of the Huna Indian Association. You know, I've lived in Huna for pretty much most of my life, and I remember when the Chilkat used to be here, and that was a blessing. You know, it used to be we get stuck here in Huna, and that was it. You know, we couldn't get anywhere. You know, when I was a teenager, I was in Cake, and we got stuck in Cake for 2 weeks because we were playing basketball down there, and that was what we, the only way we could get out was fly out. And the cost of food here is just unbelievable. You know, so if anyone has a car and goes to Juneau, they take advantage of that. I used to be a coach. I coached for the Huna High School girls for about 17 years, and it was a blessing that we were able to take the ferry. One time one of my girls got hurt, and we were in Ketchikan, and we were able to jump on a ferry from Ketchikan to Juneau and back to Huna. You know, so, and emergencies, you know, right now we have a blessing, an advantage where we could, the Coast Guard comes in and takes people out, but, you know, people that bring family home that had passed is just a little more expensive. We have to take advantage of everything we can. You know, one of the things is that I'm more concerned about as a president of the tribe is that we are having a hard time keeping our culture alive. The indigenous people of our community have to depend on a ferry in order to get here for a ku'ik, which a ku'ik, most people don't understand what that is a party for our past on, people that have passed on. We're struggling to keep our culture alive. So whenever a ferry comes into town, we schedule our ku'ik around the ferry. So I always say we lose one part of our culture, one piece of it, then we diminish our culture. We cannot be doing that. We're struggling to keep alive, and we're blessed by having some people that want to be here to do that. Another thing is that, well, that's the most important part, is keeping the culture alive of the Huna Tlingit or any tribal members that need to come into town. The ferry system is so important. You know, this year, because of the COVID, so many people have been unemployed because there are no ships that had come into this town. I mean, it used to be when I was look around, every day I see a parade of people, and I got different feelings about it, but there's no employment in this community. And one of the things that I'm happy about is that when the ships do come here, the young kids, young people from the school, they learn to have responsibility for going to work every day.
But because of the COVID, the employment isn't here. So the ferry is so important for the communities to, for this community to be able to go over and spend what they can and what they can afford. I, as a senior, used to be able to go over with not too much. But since the ferry system has changed, that I have to pay more. You know, one of the communities like Angoon, I can't imagine what they're struggling like, what they struggle like about, you know, because it's a community that struggles all the time. But anyway, I hope I didn't offend anyone there. But anyway, you know, this community of Una is a Tlingit place. When I say Tlingit, it means that we are people that practice our culture, practice everything that we've learned as we grow up, and we want to keep it that way. And when we can't have a ko'ik, which is, it's so important for our people that passed, then we diminish our existence. People have to understand that a Tlingit is a Tlingit. We're having a hard time to keep ourselves here. So I appreciate you having this teleconference so that people can express who they are or express the difficulties that are put upon us because of the ferry system. It was a blessing when the ferry system came in here. It was a blessing that we, you know, in my days it used to be 2-3 weeks without a plane coming into Una with mail or anything like that. Then all of a sudden the Chilkat came in and we were happy. And it's Jewish for having this. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. We appreciate it. For the callers on the line, we're going to come up on 6 o'clock, which was our time, but we won't take any new callers online, allow people to call in after 6. But if you're online and want to hold on, we'll get to all the callers who are presently waiting. And I show them as Sherry Myers, Luann McVeigh, Ann Fuller, and Glenn Leverick. So if you'll bear with us, we will run over and be happy to listen to what you have to say. And so I have Sherry Myers from Juneau up next.
Yes, this is Sherry Myers. I'm from Juneau, and thank you for taking my call, and thank you for the opportunity to speak on this subject. I view the ferry system as critical basic transportation and shipping infrastructure for the coastal communities across all of Alaska, not just the Southeast Alaska. And it's similar to the Alaska Railroad and the paved highways in the interior bush communities, and the value of those transportation modes to get to those communities. The ferry provides dual service to coastal community residents and for tourism and recreation users. And I have used the ferry myself for over 20 years, primarily moving back and forth between Haines and Juneau. And as part of basic transportation and as local tourism. In more recent years, when we were able to use an airplane to go back and forth as our primary method of transport, the ferry was still the backup plan in cases of no-fly weather, which happens a lot, particularly this summer. And so that's critical for people who are unable to fly, who don't want to fly, or where weather conditions prevent them from using an airplane to get back and forth, whether it's their own or one of the local services. Over the years, the ferry services and schedules, it seems like they've been designed to fail. They've become increasingly sparse and challenging for users to access the ferry. In other words, a lack of support from the state seems to have made it more and more difficult for people to use the ferry system, and that became its own self-fulfilling prophecy, where the harder it was for people to access the ferry, the lower the ridership was, and it seemed to be justifying, well, it's not getting used much anyway if you make it so difficult for people to use it or so expensive that it becomes cost prohibitive, then obviously it's not going to have a lot of success. I personally believe that the future of tourism will continue to include more independent travelers, and the ferry system offers an alternative to the crowded mega ships that currently stop at only a handful of Southeast Alaska communities. People really enjoy riding the ferry as an alternative to get around to the different, more communities than just the ones where the mega ships go to. Also, I support a regional transportation planning and organization that can reconcile the needs of all of the different communities that use the ferry system, and somehow using that organization to identify the needs for service as well as the types of vessels that may be most appropriate to use in the various communities. Not all services such as the ferry system can be viewed from a purely economic standpoint. They are critical public transportation infrastructure and may require continued state investments until such time as the ferry recovers to a point of healthy fiscal stability, which I think is possible if it is built for success. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sherry. We appreciate the comment. Next caller is Luann McVeigh from Douglas. Luann, can you hear me?
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking
Welcome.
My call.
Yeah, thank you.
We look forward to hearing from you. Okay. I've lived in Alaska since my family moved to Juneau in 1954 for my father's work. And because air travel was prohibitively expensive, my family always went to visit in Missouri, where all of my relatives are. We would load up the car and we would take the ferry, and that started in the early 60s. We would travel to Haines and we'd drive the Alcan Highway, later on shortening the drive time by taking the ferry to Prince Rupert and driving south. And as an adult, working for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and later for the Juneau School District, I also needed to travel throughout Alaska. Whenever possible, I took the ferries for reasons of safety and economy, hauling gear, traveling with students, and, yes, enjoying the ride. It was not an ocean liner experience. It was a travel experience. I would like to say that I really support the concerns that were expressed by the people from Angoon and Huna previously. I believe that those indigenous cultures deserve to be promoted and not demoted by taking away ferry service to these villages. We are relegating them to second-class citizenship. It isn't right. They deserve better. The people of Southeast Alaska deserve to have a marine highway system. We are citizens of the state of Alaska. We pay taxes. It behooves the state to find a way to make our marine highway system work for us in the same way that the railroads and the roads up in the North Country are supported. Like Odin Brody said, it is an investment. It's an investment in infrastructure that brings tourists to our state, and they don't just come to Southeast. As the McDowell report stated in 2016, there are benefits statewide that result from the Alaska Marine Highway System. Even though two-thirds of the ridership at that time were from Alaska, but we receive many benefits from the ferries in our state. For one thing, for our residents, many jobs are the result of the ferries. Sales of goods and services, the Alaska Marine Highways definitely benefits our businesses. It promotes tourism, and I like the independent tourism aspect that the previous speaker mentioned. Seafood equipment can be shipped, and so can seafood on those ferries. Groceries and other goods can be shipped on the ferries at a reasonable price. And it's really important that people can get to health care through the ferries. The elders in our communities deserve that, as do the pregnant moms who are having their babies in the hospitals here in Juneau and in other parts of the state. Our schools deserve to have the infrastructure to send students from one district to another so that they can play sports and so forth. It's a very important service that the Alaska Marine Highway System provides to our state and to the people of our state, and I urge you to find a way to maintain the Alaska Marine Highway System. I have one more comment, and that is that the Cascade Point ferry terminal that's been proposed is only one piece of a puzzle, and there is a road that has been proposed and has been nixed in the past because of its outrageous public safety dangers. I have noticed that there's terrible maintenance of the highway that goes out the road to the north of Juneau in the winter. I don't see how it's possible for a longer road to be maintained by the Department of Transportation as far as Cascade Point in the winter. It's a ludicrous idea, and it is meant to benefit only a few who happen to have land holdings up in that area with mining claims. So I really, really urge you to do your best to support our Alaska Marine Highway System and make it work for the people of our state. Thank you.
Thank you, Luann. Our next caller is Ann Fuller from Juneau. Ann, are you on?
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome, and we look forward to hearing what you have to say.
All right. Thank you for your work on this essential transportation. The ferries are used by military people on change of station orders, legislators, new residents, especially if you're coming to Alaska with pets. We have had a mobile mammogram service. That was lost this summer. I think that it's important to realize the social effects are so important in building community. Our school trips, the ceremonial events, and our economies being boosted by events that depend on the ferry. So I live in Juneau, the Christmas market, vendors come from all over. Gold medal tournament, the Alaska Folk Festival, which in past years turned the ferry going north into just another day of music, and celebration. All four of those massive events drive economic growth here in Juneau. I've used the ferry for recreation, too. My very first trip to Alaska as a deck passenger in 1979, and even just a couple of years ago for a long weekend in Sitka. And I've used it for essential errands, most recently bringing a car. Costs for transportation are public investments, and I hope that your study reveals that we need to be investing in government services. I hope you, and those public investments can't all be shifted to the people who use it. Cascade Point implies way additional costs for the people. Gosh, if you start in downtown Juneau, you're going to be driving north before the ferry's there. So it's a long drive, and I don't think that it's fair to just say, oh, it's cheaper for the ferry system, therefore it's cheaper. No, there are external costs. I hope you make plans that provide regular service that suit Alaskans. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Anne. We appreciate the comment. And our last caller is Glenn Lervick from Ketchikan. Glenn, you get the wrap-up here tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my name is Glenn L. Lervick, and I was a 1997 outstanding employee, Alaska Marine Highway System. I want to talk about this Prince Rupert thing briefly. When I was a kid in 1947, I think it was, my dad, a freighter went in there, and they swung my dad's car over into Prince Rupert, and we drove all the way down the Caribou Trail, they called it, all the way down to Seattle, and then all the way back, same thing. But now you can go down, drive down through there, buy a new car, drive it back up. You got an exchange rate. You got just a wonderful place to be. And the last two years, just this one, we go down all the time, the wife and I. To get through customs, it took 2 hours. The ferry boat, Alaska ferry boat, was just packed. And that happens all September, August and September. They're just packed, and there's everything under the sun on those things. And it took 2 hours that year and 2 hours this year just to get through customs. The boats were plugged, and those big mobile homes and all that going through there, they had to make, the Alaska must have made a ton of money at least in those 2-3 months. And I just cannot see why Prince Rupert would be not one of the, you know, get-off places or on. Yeah, that's about all I have to say. I don't want anybody else to lose anything either. But this Prince Rupert deal is really blocking a lot of people and ruining people's dreams of going up further north and then coming back and drive all the way up in the interior and then all the way back. But you can't do it, you know, with no ferry system. So I'm going to let you go now.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the comments, Glenn, and we appreciate the comments from all the callers, and we'll consider them. It's certainly important to us to hear directly from people who have who the system impacts and benefits, and also who have ideas about that could be helpful to us in reshaping it to go forward in a bit better situation. I also want to remind people, if they're still listening, that if they want to submit written comments to us online, that the place to do that is dot.amh/reshaping@alaska.gov. That's dot.amh/reshaping@alaska.gov. And we do read all those comments. We appreciate them and appreciate the interest everybody has in trying to find ways to have a better Alaska Marine Highway System for the entire state. So thank you very much. That concludes our public hearing tonight. And like I said, we appreciate the comments. And stay safe. Bye-bye.
Take care.